Called meeting of the Transportation Contingent Appropriation Group to order. I think that I'm just going to note for the record that we believe Senator Murphy, he's excused from the meeting, and we believe that Senator Cohn will arrive at some point. So we had promised that we would do a monthly meeting of this group to get an update, and I think that the department does have an update for us, both in terms of the finances, current finances of the department, some updated information, as well as there is a new request via the Department of Finance. And I'm sure that the commissioner just didn't mean to put the LAC in as the requesting authority, but we'll talk about that a little bit later, since this is not the LAC process. But members, I think we'll get started with the department giving a brief update of some of the documentation they provided. So I don't know who from the department would like to come forward. We don't expect to meet for a real long time today. It's not the intent. All right, gentlemen, thank you for being here. If you'll identify yourselves for the record and draw our attention to the documents that you've provided.
Madam Speaker, I'm Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer with MnDOT.
Madam Speaker, I'm Tim Hinkle, Division Director with MnDOT.
Thank you for joining us today. You've provided the group, as well as the public that is here, a number of documents. Do you have something you'd like to direct us to that gives a quick summary of where we are?
Madam Chair, we're going to tag team this effort. I thought I'd start with some opening comments just to give some context to our presentation, and then Tim will walk us through some of the initial handouts, and each time as we refer to something, we will highlight it, and so both members of the committee as well as the people listening in or watching will be aware. Just to give you a quick general overview, there's been a lot of developments since our last meeting, they are substantially good news events on many fronts, in particular on the federal front. Indeed, one of the things that Tim will be talking to is the fact that we have received, or it is in the system, and we're about to receive an additional $123.5 million of emergency relief funds. This was driven in a large part based on existing appropriations and an allocation process administered by the FHWA at the national level, in which we have compiled and completed an extensive effort to build up our detailed requests. The preliminary assessment by the local division of the FHWA of ER-eligible items that related to the bridge is $371 million approximately. Of course, we have that constant thorn in our side of there's another $2 million out there for the U.S. Navy divers that was taken off the top. But based on their review of our project financing plan and our estimates to date, they think there's as much as 371 that on their preliminary assessment will be ER eligible. That is not their final authorized amount, and we're continuing to compile information. But good news on both those fronts. The $123 million from the existing federal appropriation for ER funds was a good shot in the arm, and helps certainly our cash position, as well as our perspective that we're on the right path at the congressional level, the federal level, for receiving monies up to this $371 or $373 million level.
And Mr. Gray, if I could just, I think there's a question that the $123.5, that's a reimbursement program, correct?
Madam Speaker, all of the federal funds are reimbursement programs. So anything that we receive, we don't actually get into our checking account, so to speak, until we've submitted bills that have been reviewed, approved, and actually costs incurred. And then we are reimbursed, as you stated.
And so, Mr. Gray, on the $123 million, how much has been submitted to the federal government at this point for reimbursement?
Madam Speaker, if we could, to kind of keep the flow to the process,
okay.
Could I defer that question? It'll be
yes.
An early discussion point for Mr. Hinkle.
Yes,
okay.
That'd be great.
I will tell you that we actually have received a total of approximately $27 million to date, two of which has been sent to the U.S. Navy divers, and that we've got additional billings and additional submissions of significant amounts in process but not finalized yet. So we're making great strides in that front. In fact, we have authorization at from the local FHWA division in excess of $200 million of that, if you will, 371 that might be eligible. And I believe that we're in process of finalizing yet another 90 above that. So we're making tremendous progress on that front. So that's another good news point. And Tim will talk to that in a little more detail and refer to specific handouts so you don't have to keep all these numbers in your head. I think it's a testament to MnDOT staff and to the Federal Highway Administration for their staff for the tremendous efforts they are to take on this volume of effort. And in two steps, there's kind of the overall process that we continue to be very diligent about. But in order to, if you will, compete for this allocation of the $123.5 million, there was a yeoman's effort on the part of both the agency and the Federal Division Office, and I'd like to compliment them on their efforts in that regard. Of course, we've on the appropriation front, we've had the $53 million from the special session and the $60 million from the contingent appropriation group process, and we will also cover that in more detail. So today we are going to use as a basis for our discussion, referring to the letter of October 15th, where there were a half a dozen questions or reports and status updates that were requested specifically that accompanied the notification that this group had signed off on a $60 million appropriation increase. That letter covers everything from the status of federal funds, spending to date, appropriation status, revenues, cash forecasts, and some general comments about both the I-35W bridge progress and the Lakota Bridge as an element of that within the context of the lighting schedule, because there was some focus on that in our prior meetings. So with that, I think good news and much to tell. We had a very constructive session with staff yesterday, lots of questions, and I would say that we are trying to be very literal in responding to the committee's request for information at a point in time. And that's not typically how we might manage a program or a project. For instance, you'll see today that we've got some items that we think aren't going to be as high as we estimated originally within certain categories of the bridge. That's not to say we think the bridge cost has changed at all, because we might have something that's a little bit less than we thought in one area today, but we might have something that's more than we thought yesterday. But nonetheless, we're trying to reflect our best point-in-time knowledge, so this committee can make and react to that assessment as well as us presupposing to do that.
Mr. Gray, I just want to assure you that we've talked a little bit about this, that there's going to be some fluctuation in those numbers in a fairly small range. I think that can only be expected in large projects. So we know that there's some concern about that, and we are doing our best to understand as well your process and the complexities of the project.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, we appreciate that, and I think the staff has been very supportive, understanding it's a fluid process, and wherever you want to put a stake in the ground, so to speak, stakes seem to get dragged depending upon which report you're looking at which point in time. But by and large, our original estimates are hanging in there very solidly, and Tim will talk us through that. I did want to comment that I don't know if Commissioner Hanson will be speaking today, but the governor has submitted a request to the Department of Finance for additional appropriation authority. We're not going to talk to that at length now. We thought we'd go through the detailed background and status that the committee was looking for at this point. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Hinkle to talk through the first series of questions, and then I'll jump in on some other things that are more strictly financial matters.
Okay. Mr. Hinkle.
Madam Speaker, members, good morning. With your permission, I would like to walk through the first three or four questions in the letter as a way of walking through this. There is similarity in a number of these questions, and I think in our efforts to try to streamline this, if I could walk through those in that fashion, I think that will help you all. I will reference the question so that you know which one I'm focusing in on in this report, and see if that works for all of us as we move to future meetings as well. The first combination of questions that I will respond to is number one, which was asking the status of federal funds as it relates to the 35 bridge, as well as question number three, which seems to be fairly similar, the status of expenditures related to the 35 bridge replacement, including the local expenditures and the federal assistance applied for and received to date. So starting first with a response to the revenue side and where we are, going back to some of the comments that Mr. Gray has already made last week, November 1st, in fact, the FHWA released another $123.5 million in ER funds, which was based upon their review of the damage reports and a total cost estimate to repair the bridge, in addition to the $195 million in emergency relief that has been authorized by law and is currently being worked on by Congress. The FHWA has also indicated their intent to fully reimburse the agency for all eligible costs related to the collapse of the bridge and the bridge replacement. And I would ask that if you want any reference material, supporting documentation related to either of those statements, that is in the package that is covered by the Peters memo, and within that document is the memo as well to Lieutenant Governor Carol Molnow from Robin Schroeder, the Assistant Division Administrator with the FHWA. I'll continue with my remarks, and we'll refer to the additional handouts that are in that package as well, and we're going to get to the graphic so that you have that in front of you as I move forward. To date, MnDOT and the locals have submitted requests for funding from the ER program in excess of $390 million, of which $371.7 million is the current FHWA estimate of ER eligibility for this event. It's key for me to note that those are, again, estimates at this point in time, and again, that the FHWA has said that if costs do increase, that they will be looking at the eligibility of those additional costs and working to try to cover those costs as well.
So, Mr. Hinkle, I just want to get that right. So, you just said that $390 million have been submitted from MnDOT and the local units of government. Can you break that down for us? Are you going to do that?
Madam Speaker, if you bear with me, I will get to the spreadsheet that will actually lay out all of the specific figures. This makes for a total of $178.5 million in ER funds that are available, which includes the previous release of $50 and $5 million, respectively, $55 million, not including, of course, the $5 million that was appropriated for assistance to the Metropolitan Council in the collapse efforts on the transit side as well. On the congressional side of the equation, Congress continues to work to appropriate the $195 million that was authorized back in August. Specifically, when Congress will appropriate the funding is not known at this point in time. We do know that Congress is at the stage in the development and adoption of authorization of the transportation bill in moving to conference committee. We do know that there will be a need potentially for another extension, the extension that was granted to the past authorization bill. The deadline for that is November 16th of this year, when Congress will have to act to extend again. And I am certainly confident at this point that the actions that Congress is taking will get us to the appropriation of the $195 million. The question really is, when will Congress act to finalize the transportation bill and release that $195 million to the state? That is a question mark.
If you will refer to the graphic in your handout, which is this one, this gives you a very nice summary in my mind of where we are at with federal emergency relief funding for the 35W bridge. If you start at the left side of this graphic, you can see the figures that I have quoted to you so far in the gray box. The $250 million that Congress authorized back in August, and the total FHWA estimate of ER eligible costs. This is the $371.7 plus the Navy diver funding, which was provided to this, adding up to a total cost of $373.5 million in eligible ER costs. You go to the middle bar, this is a summary of the ER funds appropriated, as well as those that we expect to see appropriated. In the gray box is the combination of the recent 123.5 plus the past $50 and $5 million appropriations, respectively, adding up to 178.5 in total currently appropriated dollars. The green hash box above that is what remains to be appropriated by Congress in the amount of 195, getting us to the same bar of $373.5 million. And finally, to the far right of this graphic is the current and requested state budget authority. In the pink box is the budget authority that has been approved, the 53.2, which was approved during the special session, the $60 million at the last contingency meeting, equating to 113.2, and the request that is before you from the Department of Finance of 135 million in addition to the 113, getting us to the potential for 248.2 million worth of budget authority combined. Quickly moving to a summary and answer to your previous question, Madam Speaker, on the status of expenditures on the federal funds, if you'll refer to the next handout, which is this spreadsheet with the fine print that is titled the 35W Bridge Collapse Emergency Relief Status. At this point, currently, MnDOT has applied for and received a total of $23.6 million of ER funds. In addition to that, of course, we have approved FHWA's spending expenditure on the Navy divers at the $1.7 or $1.8 million. And so in total, when you look at this particular spreadsheet and the federal ER reimbursement received column, which is basically in the middle of this spreadsheet, you can see that MnDOT has applied for and received, in combination with the Navy divers, around $25.4 million worth of those federal ER funds. That leaves a balance, given the recent addition of the 123.5, of $153.1 million in ER funds available. You also have a question about the local expenditures, and I want to make note of that as well. As you look at this spreadsheet at the top, you can see some of the local traffic restoration projects and their progress in terms of submittals of the damage report versus authorization and reimbursement. You will note that there have been 20 DDIRs submitted to the FHWA for approximately $12 million worth of funding requested from the ER funding pot. At this point, FHWA has received those requests, but as you can see in the comments, the response is contingent on some additional justification and determination of eligibility. So at this point, The $12 million has not been approved. They are still working through those DDIRs closely with the cities and the counties involved here and working to garner the approvals and eventual authorizations. That's a quick summary of the first question and third question combined.
Mr. Hinkle, help us understand. So now that $123 million has been released from the federal government, that's a reimbursement program, correct?
Madam Chairman, yes.
And you've just documented that a number of submissions have happened through that process. Is there anything that precludes the department from submitting at some point between now and February all $123 million and the local units of government, $123 million worth of reimbursements and receiving them from the federal government? Is there anything that precludes that from happening?
Madam Speaker, first and foremost, the department has submitted, to my knowledge, every DDIR. We're certainly still working through the final approvals on a few. And so the comprehensive package is basically before the FHWA. The only exception where there may be an additional DDIR or modifications to those DDIRs would be if additional costs or scope changes to the project, something might accrue that requires that. So the short answer after that is that there's nothing that would preclude basically the return of the and reimbursement to the department and to the locals as long as the federal agency has reviewed, approved, and authorized the release of those funds.
So just to summarize that, so at this point in the process, because $123.5 million has been approved to be released by the federal government, Department of Transportation and local units of government who also have costs can and have submitted those costs to the Federal Highway Administration. There's nothing that we have in law that precludes you or any local unit of government from receiving that money into your systems in terms of the full 123, and then it's just dependent on when the next appropriation happens from the federal government for the remaining balance. Is that correct, Mr. Hinkle?
Madam Speaker, that is correct. Okay. And I would ask that if you refer to this spreadsheet again and the subtotal of local plus MnDOT, current plus Navy, there's a figure of $209.5 million. This is the current estimate of ER authorized amounts. You can see that that exceeds the amount that's available in cash, so to speak, in the bank. So at this point, we are fully capable of drawing down the available $178.5 million as invoices are received and payments is needed to be made. So we are in excellent shape when it comes to approvals and authorizations, so that we can move forward and bring that cash back into the bank, so to speak.
Which just, I think just to keep that thought going, and probably Mr. Gray, but it would seem to me that the good news out of that the federal government releasing that money, is that potentially helps your 2008 cash flow in a very good way in terms of not necessarily bottoming out quite as quickly as we had looked at earlier. So is that correct, that really what this does is it helps with the department's cash flow, means you're in less of a precarious situation in 2008?
Madam Speaker, that's an accurate assessment. Essentially, when we were planning this, we had two scenarios in mind from a cash standpoint. We had the $53 million from the quick relief money, which was appropriated as well in the special session, and we had an authorization of $250 million. And so we presented those two scenarios. Now we have a scenario where we have not only the $53 million in cash, but this $123.5 million. So we have improved our cash position, and this will all be received in fiscal 08. In fact, I would anticipate somewhere, as we when we go to the cash forecast detail schedules, somewhere in the early months of calendar 08. So I think that, yes, it improves our 08 ending cash balance, and I believe it takes us out of a potential borrowing scenario in 08 when we talked about the need to potentially work with the general fund for a temporary transfer of funds on an interim loan basis. Yes, this is good news.
Great. Okay.
It's also indicative of the Congress's commitment to getting us to a point that will fully reimburse us, as Mr. Hinkle noted earlier.
Terrific. Okay. Going.
Madam Speaker, if I could, I will move to the second question next. And that question is regarding the overall status of the I-35 bridge replacement project itself. And I will quickly talk to the actual construction schedule versus the projected construction and give you a little update on the legal aspects of this project and the contract as well. First and foremost, the status of the actual construction. The simple answer here is that, first and foremost, our expected completion date, as outlined in previous testimony, is December of calendar year 2008. And as far as progress is concerned, and as I'm sure you've seen in the headlines as of late, construction activities have begun, and work is progressing well as expected. The work that's happening today currently is the footing work to test the footing area and begin the pier work that is needed for the eventual construction of the supporting structures. Moving to the legal side, first and foremost, as I'm sure you're all aware, the ruling that was made on October 31st by the Honorable Judge Edward Clearly of Ramsey County District Court was to deny the request that was made by the plaintiff for a temporary restraining order to halt the 35W St. Anthony Bridge Falls project, thus allowing the project to continue and is currently under construction. Recently, however, as late as yesterday, the plaintiff in this case have filed an appeal to the Minnesota Court of Appeals, which includes a petition for accelerated review and a motion for expedited appeal on the decision that was made by the previous court. MnDOT is in the process of reviewing that appeal and working with the AG's office in understanding what the process is for that appeal, and that is where we are at in terms of the 35 legal aspects of this project.
Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hinkle, on the authorization for the 35W bridge, it's 194, and you received $18 million. But are some of your monthly, when you submit your monthly, not estimates, but basically your receipts, how long do you have to wait for that? Is that going to affect your cash flow? Because I would imagine in a couple months you're going to have a big draw on that, aren't you? And that could hit spots like in February at least. Is that going to cause a problem in cash flow?
That's great.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, no. I mean, the obvious impact to cash flow is that we've got a $393 million bill that we didn't have programmed, and that's why we're looking at it. So other than the obvious, you know, overall issue of trying to manage cash, and I might add appropriation authority relative to that, no. I think that we look at it as a once the authorization is received and the costs are incurred and we actually submit a bill, compile and submit a bill, I believe it's a matter of 2 or 3 days and the money is literally back in our bank account. So I think that the with the electronic billing and deposits and things of that nature, the turnaround time is pretty fast. The real issue is getting the bill and prior to that, making sure it's an eligible cost. And once we've got the eligibility determination, which is this authorization column that Mr. Hinkle referred to in that handout, we actually get the bill. We turn it around virtually immediately, both pay it, but also are reimbursed as soon as we pay it within, I'd say, 72 hours or so. So I think that has been expedited over time, especially with electronic transfers.
Great.
It probably, Madam Speaker, if I could, when we spoke about the cash flow and the positive impacts there, one of the things that is the kind of the two-sided coin that we have here is, of course, we need the cash, but we also need appropriation authority, especially to ensure the program continuing. So, again, we're here to seek additional appropriation authority as well. And the focus on the cash, it does help our cash, and you're exactly on target with the fact that once it's reimbursed, this is something that comes in and help. We can take the money in as soon as we incur the cost. But the fact is, we're still trying to manage our spending authority as well. So, and we'll get to that with the committee's indulgence later on.
Russell Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, I assume that I'm not reading you correctly, but you said you'll get the cash, and you'll have the cash, but you don't have the authorization. Are we delaying anything on the authorization if it comes to that point where you're going to have the cash and you aren't authorized to spend it? Is that what you're implying?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, no. We, as Mr. Hinkle stated, when we incur the cost, if they are ER eligible, we will bill and be reimbursed for those costs. And the cash flow can come in at any time. Managing the program from an appropriation authority standpoint still remains a challenge as we add the costs incurred in direct appropriation authority to the I-35W bridge. We are doing that out of our existing authority, and that's why we've asked for the special session authority, and we have in front of the committee today an additional request for appropriation authority for the $135 million. So we're still trying to manage that. How do you authorize and award a contract, particularly in the regular program side? But the cash flow, if it's a valid expense and ER eligible, we bill it, pay it, and bill it to the feds, and there's a quick turnaround time for that.
So, Mr. Gray, just to clarify, because I know there's been a little bit of confusion about what this is all about at this point, because just to clarify again, you have awarded the contract for the 35W bridge. That is completely encumbered as a project, and there should be no delays with that particular project going forward. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
And so what we're really talking about is the remaining parts of the 2008 program, and with what this group did authorize at the last meeting, I think we'll go through this, is the estimate is that will take you up to the February letting of the 2008 program. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that is correct. It did leave a difference of, I believe, $85 million in this year's program alone, assuming everything is spot on with respect to cost estimates and the like, and continues to place us in this kind of programming dilemma of if we let, according to the schedule, but some of the projects early aren't as high a priority. I mean, we're still trying to live within our means, essentially, our appropriation, our budget authority means. And that means looking at which projects are let when, and until we know that we have full budget authority for the $135 million, we're not in a position to let all projects without at least scrutinizing them for which are the right projects to let early until we know what our appropriation status is. And that's the discussion we've been having. But you're also correct that if we kept the letting schedule on track as is, it gets us into the February-March time frame. But if we don't know, and there is a possibility, I would assume that the legislature can make a decision to not grant additional appropriation authority. That would mean that there are some projects that would have to fall off, and we just want to make sure it's the right ones relative to the priorities of the program.
Madam Chair.
Representative Colbert.
To that point, in the authority that you have and the original accept program project list and so forth, and as I look at the tentative lettings to date and so forth, and I'm not holding it to the exact number, because I understand you're going to have flexibility in this and projects come in. But if you look at the estimate, and that's what we're going on, till we get to just about the end of February, when we'll be in session 2 or 3 weeks, it appears that that the appropriation remaining from authority to spend money is only in the neighborhood of your estimate of about $300,000 short. Now, I understand there's some questions on, you know, set-asides and all that kind of stuff, but you may have more or less on that than you've estimated that, but I think that's in that estimate. So it appears that your authority, including the whole business that you have for the, as it relates to the 35 bridge collapse, you do have enough authority for not only the bridge, but also the projections that have been submitted to us on your long-term projections letting. Am I reading that correctly?
Correct.
Madam Speaker, yes, and I represent Solberg, but it's kind of a little bit of a yes and a no at the same time. And the yes is we clearly could get to February on the proposed letting schedule. Recognize again that we do not prioritize our projects, that the first project let during the fiscal year is the highest priority project of the mix. There's a lot of determinations as to what builds the letting schedule. So I think that if you look at the bottom line, and whether it's $78 million or $85 million, we've got up to $85 million of adjustments that we potentially have to make in the program until we know the status of our appropriation authority level. And the only point that we've, I think, consistently made, and not to be challenging or anything, is that if we've got $145 million of projects and only $60 million of spending authority, the prudent thing to do is to try and focus that $60 million towards the highest priority projects. And now, so that's the only point I'm making. And we do intend to walk through this SRC analysis right in conjunction with the cash forecast after Mr. Hinkle goes through some of these things. But I think these observations are all on track. I'm just hesitant to say that we can spend, if you will, with authority, based on our lighting schedule into February. I don't think that if that was all we got, I don't know that those would necessarily be the projects we'd let in totality. And that's kind of the crux of the planning and programming challenge for us.
And Mr. Gray, I think we all appreciate that. I want to be clear that I think one of the major concerns of the members of this group has been more that we are not the entire legislature. And certainly I think that, as has been past practice, when the full legislature is together, there has not been a hesitancy to approve additional authority for federal funds that are available. Going beyond that as to dollars available in the state and those sorts of things, that's a different question. And so I want to be very clear back that for us, this is a huge process issue about disenfranchising the majority of legislators in being able to take that vote on that authorization. And that has been a major, major concern about the process that we are asked to embark on here. So I just want to be very clear that there is no, I don't think there's any intent by anyone sitting here to not recommend to their colleagues that if there's authorization available from the federal government for an appropriation available, that there would not be some sort of action taken on that, you know, potentially even fairly early in the legislative session based on the situation you're in.
Madam Speaker, I think that collectively as an agency, and both Mr. Hagel and I, we appreciate and respect that. And there is a timing difference here. We're going to have to let some projects or propose to let projects before the legislature meets, and that's a little bit of the timing disconnect, and I haven't heard any messages to the contrary that there isn't support for it, but it still puts, from a risk management, financial management, kind of putting on my CFO hat, I would caution my planning side of the organization to say, before you let all these projects and presume that the legislature is going to give you additional authority, you should make sure it's the right project. So I think we're all on the same page on this, and this timing difference makes it for a little bit of the debate in the short term.
Senator Pogomiller.
The department, though, made the decision to move the I-335 bridge in front of everything else before there was any changes in appropriation, correct? The moment you signed that contract, not you personally, maybe you did, I don't know if you signed it, but the moment somebody signed it, the decision was made by the department, by the executive branch, to move I-35 in front of everything else. That's
and
a fact,
Speaker,
right?
Senator Pogamil, absolutely.
That's a fact.
Priority.
Right.
Absolutely.
Nothing, nobody at this table, no legislator had anything to do with that. That was a decision made in the executive branch. Correct?
Madam Speaker, correct.
Thank you.
All right, let's continue, Mr. Hinkle.
Madam Speaker, I will now go to question six before I hand it back to Mr. Gray to talk about some of the other questions. That question, very quickly, is an update on the status of the Lakota Bridge project, as well as all the state road construction projects for fiscal year 2008, including the bid letting schedule. I will ask you to refer to the handout entitled Table 2, Tentative Schedule of Letting. And introduce this table by first saying that the status of the Lakota Bridge is that it is planned for advertisement and letting as scheduled. And the current schedule for the Lakota Bridge has that scheduled for a January 25th of 2008 letting, with the advertisement for that project currently scheduled for probably a 6 week to 8 week advertisement. So we're probably looking at early December or late November, depending on discussions with the contracting agencies and what in their interest is best and what is interest in our interest to get the most competitive bids.
Yeah. Can you just point out which one that is on this chart for those of us who aren't on transportation terms?
Madam Speaker, if
Mr. Hinkle,
you
page three, middle of the page.
Hartman Avenue?
Mm-hmm. Hartman. 494, Trunk Highway 494.
That is correct, page three. 494.
Representative Colbert.
So, Mr. Hinkle, is my understanding, you have changed that then from a December letting to a January letting, is that correct? Or do I have this wrong? Maybe I'm reading. Is it December letting up on top? Okay, the total number is on the bottom.
Yep.
So it was always scheduled as a January letting, is that correct?
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, I believe it was always scheduled.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I was reading the chart correctly. That's correct. Okay.
And Senator Pogamilla.
Are there any plans to change that?
Madam Speaker, Representative Senator Pogamilla, no. The schedule is January 25th of 2008.
There's nothing, Major, and there's nothing that's going to happen to change that. Nothing we could do that's going to change that.
Madam Speaker, Senator Pogamiller, no, we're on schedule for delivering that project.
Okay. All right.
The final comment I would make on this particular table is that you will note the October lettings have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And as you look at this and as this, some of the figures relate to what Mr. Gray will talk about when he gets to the cash flow analysis, is a comparison of the preliminary estimates to the currently awarded estimates. You will see that there is a difference in both of these projects in that the projects came in under the estimated cost. That, in the end, as we look at future cash flow analysis, changes subtly in this case, that cash flow analysis. But in this case, we've seen some lower costs, and that is to be noted here. If there aren't any other questions, that covers my set of the program side, and Mr. Gray will handle the remaining questions regarding cash flow, etc.
Thank you, Mr. Hinkle, and thank you for the information. Senator Pogamiller.
So as we look down this chart, you go to the January letting subtotal, $104 million. There's nothing we're going to do or not do that alters that.
Madam Speaker, Senator Pogamiller, at this point we have the budget authority necessary to get us through the January letting.
So there's nothing this group's going to do or not do that changes that.
There's nothing that this group
will do that will change that. What this group can help us with, as Mr. Gray alluded to earlier, is budget authority for a longer period of time so that we can make decisions today on whether or not we can hold to the ready schedule, which is this document, versus having to go back to the table, knowing that at this point we're talking about February, where we run out of that budget authority, and begin the prioritization process so that we're letting those projects that are most urgent and necessary among the ready list.
Senator Fogle. Well, we're going to be in session in February. And these two transportation committees who normally do this business will get back together and do whatever they do, and as I understand it, they always want to authorize more spending for transportation.
Madam Speaker.
Seems to me that's what they're going to do when they get back together. They're going to authorize more spending for transportation.
Mr. Hanks.
I understand and respect the comments that Senator Fogle-Miller is making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Representative Leader usually does like to spend money on transportation. I can attest to that. He enjoys that. And he does think it's the right thing to do. Well, we all think it's the right thing to do. All right. Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, there are two areas that I'd like to focus on. Referring to the October 50th letter, changes in cash flow projections is one of them, but I thought since we've gotten into this appropriation analysis that I'd refer to the what I believe are likely almost the last two handouts in your packet, where it's labeled at the head of it, the SRC appropriation analysis. And I'll talk to that first, and then we'll get into the details of the cash flow, because that's probably a good point to end on and dive into that.
Okay, Mr. Gray, can hang on a second. We'll just let members settle back down here and find what they're looking for, which is Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Ms.
While we're waiting for everyone to...
I do have a question, and I'm wondering about the right-of-way acquisition costs. Are those part of this document you handed out, or how do you do those? When do you put those in?
Mr. Gray.
Come periodically, or how do we do it?
Madam Speaker, and I think I caught most of the questions. I'd like to rephrase it back to make sure I can cover it. We have a detailed project list here that supports our project letting schedule, but the question was around what about right-of-way and other related construction program impacts? How do we plan for those, and where are they, or if they are, in that schedule? And, Representative, they are... the right-of-way and other related items, municipal agreements, utility agreements, cooperative agreements, that, some of which is project-specific, some of which isn't, but they're not necessarily captured in the project number, are not included in that list that Mr. Hinkle referred to. Those are state road projects that have a bid element to them. So right-of-way, as a for instance, would be something that would be part of our set-aside number that we anticipate spending towards that particular activity, but there wouldn't be a special letting or project number relative to that. So, and in fact, that's a good segue, if I might, Madam Speaker.
Oh, hold on.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Go ahead if you want to.
Okay.
I was going to say that that's a good segue to looking at the appropriation analysis schedule. And.
So, members, this is in the packet that has the spreadsheet entitled I-35W Bridge Cost Estimate and Cash Flow, and it's the second page from the back, I believe. So,
excuse me, Madam Chair, I had last month's schedule sitting in front of me, and I wanted to refer to that because that is also in front of you, but I didn't have the updated schedule that was shared with staff yesterday. So it's dated November 7th in the upper right-hand corner, and this is the most current update to our State Road Construction, SRC, spending authorization and activity. And just to at the risk of repeating things that we've covered in the past. I think it's always good to kind of step it through again. Our base appropriation, legislative appropriation, is $551 million. We've collected some other revenues from on shared construction projects, shared projects with locals. The special session was $53 million of spending authority, and through the contingent appropriation group process, we received a sign-off, if you will, supporting another $60 million in spending authority or budget authority. So the subtotal of $676 million is indeed that. Our actual expenditures through September, and we'll talk about, we are actually updated through October, but I'll talk to that in a minute, is $135 million. In addition, we have, that leaves us a balance of $541 million. The remaining estimated cost as of today, based on our $301 million related to the bridge, that leaves us with $239 million of spending authority. Now, that number was approximately $231 million in last month, and the estimate has changed modestly because, as you see, when we get into the cash flow forecast, we've had some changes in costs, actual costs versus estimates to the bridge. And again, I throw out my caveat that we're reflecting what we know today, but it's a little bit risky because, in our minds, the cost of the bridge is still $375 million. But out of the chute, the demolition costs and some of the local response costs were a little bit lower than estimated, but during the course of a $375 million effort, you can imagine we anticipate there might be some winners and losers in specific estimates, and so we're still holding it true. But relative to what we know today, and we had a long discussion with staff about this, we're reflecting actual, against the various categories, actual costs versus the estimates. And so, in this, the difference is that last month we used 375, and now based on a couple of areas where the estimates might be potentially over the actual cost, that number is a little bit lower. So what that means is that as we look at the balance of the appropriation schedule, we have, again, going through it, we've got $239 million of estimated authority after the impact of the bridge in 2008 is factored in. In October, last month, our estimate was that we had, I believe it's a single project, for $1.2 million was the planning letting schedule estimate. The project actually came in and was bid at $600,000. The set-aside, I believe we had forecasted at $14 million and actually came in at $16.1 million. The balance of the schedule has been updated now. If you look at the lettings from November through June to reflect the most recent planning estimates. And again, normally we wouldn't be changing things every week or every 3 weeks or month, whatever, but the 189, I believe, ties to the schedule, the handout that Mr. Hinkle referred to and Representative Solberg was talking to, totaling $188.9 million, so $189 million. Those are the what we think the cost of the lettings that are planned for the balance of the year will total. We've adjusted our set-aside a little bit because that's what we do is we have some things set aside for price adjustments and things like that. Some of that is used to balance that. Our remaining program is still $318 million in total, and with the modest adjustment to the current status of the bridge cost because we've got some actual figures, that $78.8 million number, if you recall, is the same as the $145 million number that we presented last week. And, of course, the $145 number is now less because we received $60 million from the contingent appropriation group process. So that was $85 million, which is kind of the number we talked about.
Mr. Gray, if I can ask about the set-aside number. So we had quite an extensive discussion at set-aside at a previous meeting, and some concern about the 14 as a plug number, but the 16.1, and maybe Mr. Hinkle will be in on answering this question, does that include set-asides for the 35W bridge project then, or why? I mean, I'm just remembering that up until this point or last month, there really hadn't been that much use of set-asides by the department. And so I'm curious to if you can help us with that 16.
Madam Speaker, that's a good question. The 16 is the first 3 months of the fiscal year, July, August, and September. We actually had set aside spending that's non-project specific, or did not go through a letting, if you will, of $39 million. So we were running in that $13 million clip. So the 16 is maybe a little bit higher, but not significantly higher than planned. And you're right. As a financial individual, I don't like to use the word plug, but we kind of have an estimate of what we think we need for right of ways.
I should say planning estimate.
No, plug is kind of the more common. We all use it in our vernaculars. But I would say that the 14 is...
You're putting it in the spreadsheet, I think that
exactly.
Might be what you say.
And at this point in time, we have kind of a planning estimate for the letting schedule of $189 million. And so some portion of the set-aside is available to kind of move back and forth because until the bid is received, you don't obviously know what the actual number is. So we've been averaging $13 million. It was a little bit higher in October. I'll be candid. I don't know what that couple extra million might have been, but it's not as a big a leap as we would have thought. And again, we don't have as accurate. We don't have a schedule of set-aside spending that's quite as accurate, so we do tend to say, well, it's roughly in this range. We'll use an average, but that's a little bit less precise than knowing when we're going to let certain projects. So it's not quite as precise as our cash forecasting or planning of budget authority usage as is the project side of the ledger.
Okay.
But again, just to try and recap this, for fiscal 08 alone and without any kind of room for any project cost overruns and impacts, the $145 million, which was our total last year, or last month, excuse me, it is now is more accurately $85 million because of the $60 million that we received. That compares to $78.8 million. So we're really in the same ballpark, and trying to be specific and tied to what's in our financial records at a point in time is why we've had this added this level of preciseness. But in reality, we're still at that 375 level. So, let's see. I think were there any another questions from Representative Solberg?
Representative Peter has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Gray, as I look at the schedule, would I be correct in assuming, based on the authorization, that you're going to run into problems, that you'd be delaying the February letting schedule, basically, even if we come in February? You might even be delaying the later part of January for letting dates?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, I think by February, we're in that tough position of saying, what do we go forward with? Actually, you probably have to look at December and January lettings in terms of managing the program. Which lettings would we release at that point in time, or would we delay some to get us into the legislative session to allow the full legislature to look at the issue? So, you're correct, though.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, just to reiterate, actually, we would be delaying January and February letters, readjusting them basically, because the legislature certainly couldn't act the first week in February. So you would have to delay, it would appear to me, in the end of January already, or make some shifting in your letting dates.
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, I believe there'd be some collective adjustments of projects to say maybe we would prefer them to March lettings versus a January letting, as a for instance.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair,
Representative
just on that issue, when you defer, is that kind of almost something that happens quite often, though, you defer from 1 month to another month?
Or
not for necessarily financial reasons, but for other reasons as well?
Mr. Henkel or Mr. Gray?
Yes, Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, sure. We are looking at project adjustments all the time based upon what the district engineers in particular offer us, and so that does happen.
And just one other clarification. As I understand it, your February letting is 222. Your advertisement for that is in January. But if you look at the January lettings, they're well in front of, it's at the end of January, but you still have appropriation of $45 million, $45.1 million appropriation balance of remaining as of at the end of January 25th. So really what you end up with is probably some decision making on January 21st when you do your advertisement for that. But we'll be in session far before the 22nd, so I can understand some small appropriation there and necessary. But again, even in January you have $45.1 million of authority to spend, and if you spent it all, you'd only be $300,000 short. So I understand that's cutting it close from your, but...
Madam Speaker, Representative Stolberg, I think that's an accurate assessment. The issue is, would we let the projects scheduled in December, January, February, would we let all of them stay as high a priority as some of the projects that might be out in March or other set-aside commitments and things like that? And I think that's more of our struggle than it is whether or not we'd have 45. And I would say that February is essentially, we can do it. I mean, if all the projects just went out as is. But again, without knowing if we're going to receive at least $78.8 or $85 million more of appropriation authority, we've got that tension about which set aside, which right away do we purchase or defer, because I think it would be inappropriate for us to overspend our appropriation authority, because that's something that has a whole issue of its own. And so we'd like to spend what we have on the right thing. And that's the point that we kind of keep going back. So we can clearly go as is into February, maybe through February even, arguably. But the issue is that the right projects and the right set-aside usage at that point in time, and would we have to manage that without additional authority? And that's why we're seeking additional authority, so we can not have to move the programs around, not impact local expectations of projects. And as you're probably aware and get feedback, when a letting is deferred or delayed, there's always a little bit of nervousness about that. Is it real? Is it permanent? Is it just because something's not ready, a technical issue? And we'd like to avoid kind of that nervousness factor if we could, knowing that we can indeed, as you know, as both the Madam Speaker yourself and Senator Pogermiller said at the front end of this, and I think very supportively, that we're committed to funding the bridge and to funding a regular program to keep it intact. So that's where it comes from.
I'm sure.
Senator Pogermiller.
Is there anything in the, I was just looking through, and again, since I'm not on transportation, the shorthand and the location type of work, I don't totally understand all that language. Are there any bridges in that from after February letting? So go start on page 7, I guess. That's the end of the February letting. Is there anything that's a bridge there?
Madam Mr. Speaker, Hinkle. Senator Pogermiller, I do see a couple. For example, page 8, District 7, I believe they're on Trunk Highway 14, $300,000 project is over the Minnesota River project.
I see that one, yes.
Would be one.
Is that a critical, what's that terminology? Is that a fracture critical bridge?
Madam Speaker, Representative Pogermiller, I do not know if that is a...
Could you just get back to our staff on that?
Yes.
Any other bridges there?
Mr. Gray, I think, found another one. Page 9, District 6, Trunk Highway 63.
Which one is that?
That's bridge related. we'll confirm that for you.
$150,000, is that, Mr.
Yeah.
Hinkle, are we on the right project here?
Channel restoration.
So that would be two at least, but I can confirm
fine.
For
and
you.
Find out if that's fracture critical.
Yep.
And then I just wanted to clarify, I think you're kind of at the end of that, this discussion. Nothing this group is going to do or not do. Change is whether that the 35W bridge is going to be completed or not, in terms of timing. Because the only thing we're really waiting for now is the feds to appropriate the 195, I think.
Madam Speaker, Senator Fulton Miller, nothing will change the status of the 35W bridge. That
right.
Will
and so if the feds, for some reason, don't appropriate that, that potentially could have an impact. But there's nothing this group is going to do positively or on the other. There's nothing we can do to change that bridge is going to be completed on time, within whatever this budget is, as long as the feds deliver that money. Is that
Madam Speaker?
Mr. Hinkle.
Senator Pogemiller, that is correct.
Okay.
The issue here is receipt of federal funds and eventual receipt of federal funds. If we don't see federal funds, then we are faced with making adjustments to the program so that the 35W bridge can continue.
But not to the bridge. That was the final point I was going to make. Even if we don't get the federal funds in a
right.
timely fashion, that bridge will be completed. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing the legislature does will change that.
Correct.
Mr. Hinkle.
Or not do.
Madam Speaker, Pope Hill. Yes.
Okay.
Madam Speaker, just so we can get into some more numbers and detail.
Yes, absolutely.
I'd like to refer to the cash forecast schedule, if I could.
Okay.
And there are a number of tables here, but I thought I'd start with, on the first page, it's labeled I-35W Bridge Cost Estimate and Cash Flow. It is essentially an overview of our key that on the top half recaps the estimates that we had in place when we testified in our first several meetings in September, early October. And those were our best estimates at that point in time. Since that time, there have been some modest adjustments in what we think the actual costs are relative to those estimates. And again, we run the risk of saying that we're not changing the price of the bridge.
Absolutely.
Here. Okay.
Mr. Gray, we want to be really clear
sure.
that we understand that I can't imagine in a project of this size, there's going to be some movement.
At points in time in particular.
Which, I think there's probably some sort of range of normal movement in the numbers in terms of where they're at.
And
Mr. Gray, you just know that
yes.
big surprises are what gets our attention. And
absolutely.
But you can point out where that difference is, because I know there is a difference.
Madam Speaker, thank you for that and for that reinforcement. Essentially, everything is stayed pretty status quo. We've come a lot further in working with our local partners, particularly the city of Minneapolis, and I believe staff has participated in meetings with our state aid folks and the city officials responsible for submitting their upfront rescue and recovery efforts. If you go to the far right of the page, we had estimated $17 million. That's the local rescue and recovery column, and it appears that we're going to be closer to $12.5 million. So we've reflected that for purposes of trying to be on top of our cash flow at this point in time. Secondly, several columns in is a column labeled bridge demolition. Our early estimates of that were in the $15 to $18 million range. It appears that we're going to be closer to the $15 million number. So very modest tweaks, as you've pointed out, and as I've said, we could have, right away could be several million dollars higher next month once we actually sign off on it or something like that. So, but for purposes of cash flow, we're using the most current estimates and actual numbers that we have, and we thought that, and staff represented that that's what they thought the best position was to take. With that, I thought we'd walk through very briefly on the next page We now have a federal funds forecast, we have a cash forecast that reflects federal funds at the $178 million level, if you will, plus or minus, again, the U.S. Navy divers payment. And what you'll see is that for 2008, the first page is the fiscal 2008 cash forecast, and even at our low points, which are highlighted in a box below, we feel that we'll have sufficient cash on hand to meet all of our bridge-related as well as regular program and operational cash flow needs. I'll move to 2009 on the next page. And we had issues of a higher magnitude at the last session, but that was also based on only $53 million. And so we've kind of gone past the $53 million federal number. We now have $177 million, or $178, if you will. And so that's history, but we've improved our cash position by comparably that much. And you'll see that we have a series of, in the middle of the year, and as we've talked about, our October through January time frame are our most demanding, typically, cash, in a regular program basis, cash flow time frame. Over and above that, this bridge is going at a pace and a clip that's, absorbing or will require payments at a much higher rate than is a normal project. And their level of effort and their ability to work throughout the winter months is a little bit extraordinary here. So the cash flow demands also reflect that. With the committee's indulgence, I'd like to go back to the first page. I forgot to point out something that's important as well. Under federal aid reimbursements bridge, if you look about five lines down, you'll see federal aid reimbursements and then a specific line item for federal aid reimbursements bridge. I wanted to show you that we had previously reflected $53 million coming in sometimes in October, November, and December as we got through the submission process and the review and approval with the feds for these DDIRs, these incident summaries and then the actual billing, and it reflected when we thought we were going to get billed by people for these things so we could be reimbursed. You'll note that through December, January, February, March, we have added the $123.5 million of these additional cash receipts that we anticipate receiving. So the total of $176.7, if you add back the Navy diver, you get up to our $178 million number. So I just wanted to show that we have updated it in total and the timeline showing that. Beyond that, we continue to reflect the balance of the $195 million is in, well, in 09, I'll finish that off. We have some challenges in 09 with cash flow. If the federal authorization and additional ER cash eligibility items aren't reimbursed.
So, Mr. Gray, I just want to be clear, and folks watching this or listening to it can't see the document. And so, basically, in 08, because of the 123.5, there is never a point when there is a negative cash flow issue in the department. There's always at least a slight positive cash flow, and so things are a bit more stable for 08. 09, though, starting in the 09 fiscal year, just so folks know that, because we're actually talking about October of 08, there begins a negative trend that continues throughout until really May 09 without, if there would be no further federal appropriation or any other action by the legislature. And so just to be very clear, that, I think you could say the patient's a bit healthier but not thriving at this point and a little ill in 09. And so I think that, there still are some very critical issues in terms of the cash flow and as it is in the 09 situation. Is that?
Madam Speaker, I think that's a good assessment, and I would also add a little bit of a positive note Again, as we see the 123, when we first did this schedule, we only had the $53 million. Now we have an additional $123 million over and above that. We are in a positive cash balance, we believe, in June of 2009, and I think that that was a critical point in how and what our options are for borrowing between with the general fund. So I just point that out. It's still not the position we want to be in, but I think that with the only $53 million in hand, so to speak, we were negative as of June of 2009, which was added level of issues, if you will, about how and what borrowing we would have in place. But the money is coming through, and so with that situation is proved at least that year into.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Mr. Gray, I recognize that, you know, you're really diligent. You've done a great job as far as affecting the cash balance. But in order to achieve that cash balance, has there been cuts like delaying right-of-way purchases and delays in maintenance and purchasing equipment and cutbacks? My understanding is a little bit of effect on the maintenance section. Is that correct?
Mr. Gray?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, that's a good point. We are so focused on the state road construction impacts that we do continue to make some adjustments in our operating budget on our maintenance and operations side. Now that's the $18 million that gets us from 375 to 393. And we have in particular looked at our facilities maintenance program and fleet equipment and scientific equipment purchases and things of that nature, trying not to harm our personnel and supply side of things, but we are significantly reducing the set aside to make sure that we have sufficient money to cover our bridge-related costs. In particular, the bridge inspections that we're doing, which alone are $10 million, that are not ER eligible, by the way. So we set aside approximately in the range of $16 plus million dollars to shift from their normal maintenance type of expenditure, fleet equipment, facilities, buildings, and things of that nature, to address things like the bridge inspection program that we're taking out of our existing budgets. And of course, this wasn't planned, so it's an accurate observation.
Representative Leader.
Sir, one other question, and Mr. Gray, construction management consultant, I would assume the design build, if you wouldn't have any consultant costs, that would be included in total bridge contract? And how come we have consultant costs? That's not for inspection. Are they doing the inspection, or is MnDOT going to do the inspection?
Mr. Gray?
Madam Speaker, Representative Leader, on design-build projects, there is a high expectation that they will have a very comprehensive quality control and inspection process on board. But over and above that, from a quality assurance standpoint, we engage a separate independent firm from the bridge, the bridge contractor themselves. So we have, in addition to our inspection resources, we have a third party, if you will, to ensure that the inspection and the quality is proceeding. So we invest, I believe, on every design-build contract, so I'm not an engineer, and somebody else might attest to this better. I believe we always have an independent inspection arm to reinforce MnDOT and to bring objectivity and oversight to the inspection efforts of the contractor themselves. So this is typical to invest in a construction administration or engineering management independent consultant.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to comment, Mr. Gray, that always kind of reinforces my idea about design-build, that they don't show the total cost because this is a cost that's normally not included when they talk design-build, and I'm not objecting to it, but I mean, when we look at that, we aren't considering apples and apples when we talk design-build based on normal contract operations, in my opinion. And anyhow, thank you.
Mr. Gray, I would like to follow up on something that Representative Leader asked about, this shift in the operating budget, if you would. And maybe, you know, for better or worse, I think we'll be together again in another meeting. Some detail on that $16 million shift in the operating budget, and to give us some idea of, you know, you named some things, fleet, scientific equipment. You're trying not to harm the program, but I guess in fleet, you know, is that a snowplow somewhere? Is that something that would be out there on the road making a difference? I think that's a question we would all have, and I guess that does. It leads me to something I meant to ask last time, but I think it was far too warm out to even ask about it, and that is You know, at a future time, we would like an update on the winter snow maintenance plan for MnDOT in terms of keeping the roads clear here and making sure that, you know, we have a good understanding that money maybe hasn't been shifted away from that program.
Man, figure, haven't you talked to Al Gore lately? We're not going to have any of that stuff. Don't need that.
Madam Speaker, we'd be welcome to talk to you in further detail about both efforts. Would you like the winter maintenance plan discussed in front of this committee as well, don't you think?
I think maybe provided in staff, to staff, and then we can discuss whether it's a topic that we want to see. But certainly I think both transportation chairs would be interested in that as well. So.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. To just step through the committee, if I might, Madam Speaker, the next couple pages of spreadsheets are showing federal funds if we were to receive the $373 million, the currently estimated ER eligible level. So, and again, that's a preliminary estimate that the FHWA has made. It could go up or modestly down, but I think as we actually get more concrete evidence of cost and impact thus, it could go up. That's their number, and so we just ran through a cash forecast if we were to receive $372 million of cash, and obviously if we're in better shape at $177 million, we're even in better shape at the $372 million, to the point where if you go to 2009, again in 2008, we have sufficient cash to manage both the bridge and the regular program and operation impacts. We, even at our low point, are really close to making it through 2009. I believe there are 2 months in there, January and February, where we're marginally at that. On the low point of a given day in the month, we might be experiencing. I would have to be candid with the committee. I would think that would be a manageable number. So it's still not good to be at absolute zero on a point in time, but it looks like that we would have sufficient cash to meet our operating and bridge-related needs throughout and 2009 if we're able to, in fact, receive that level of funding from the federal government.
So, Mr. Gray, just for those who can't see the document or are listening, that what happens here is that 2008 looks fairly similar under the 372. It's 2009 that really is affected by the federal funds at the range of 372, but there still is this point in January 2009 and February 2009 where you potentially go into the negative by about $3 million 1 month, $4 million the other month, but that could be managed by how you do things. So I respect your opinion on that. I still think it's probably better to be in the positive on these numbers. My guess is you think that too. And
Madam Speaker, I agree. I just don't want to be an alarmist. I think if we're within $3 or $4 million, that we could employ some practices. So I don't want to overstate the cash problem. But I agree with you that we're cutting it. Even the month of November, you'll notice $2 or $3 million to the positive. I think, when we're at that fine a number, we might be able to manage it, but it's not the ideal situation. We prefer to be in a positive territory.
Right. Thanks.
By the way, that does serve to remind that we've had this discussion with the committee and at more length with the staff, that we had cash crunches that we were experiencing with just the regular program. So there is some issue here that at some point in time we need to not ask to spend more and receive the cash. And we'll talk about that, and staff has been very good about, we're working on that over the next couple of months. But I think that when you get $372 million, you see that we're that close to zero, if you will, either side. It shows that we've strained our regular program cash a bit, too. So, and we had plans for that, but with the bridge, it's kind of getting lost in all the appropriation authority and cash management discussions there. But we'll keep an eye on that and continue to work with staff, and at an appropriate time, we'll talk to the committee about that.
Well, Mr. Gray, I just want to say from my standpoint, and I don't know about other committee members, but we certainly did have this discussion in one of the previous group meetings where we talked about you know, how close to go in terms of spend down and all of these things. And so I think it's very much of interest of legislators to work with you to figure out both what works better for the department, but also, you know, what are the ongoing funding needs of the program, and making sure that the department has the resources available to it to, you know, assure the safety and mobility of Minnesotans around the state. So we have a very keen interest in that, and we want to make sure that happens in the 2008 legislative session.
Very good, Madam Speaker. That's a shared agenda. The last schedule that I thought I'd walk through, and this seems to resonate well with the with staff, and it helps us from an agency perspective understand what dynamics have changed. And I think that's really the focus of these monthly update meetings. In our original estimates, again, which only included the $53 million. Last month, we said our ending cash balance would be $102 million. Well, we expected it'll be close to $200 million is the actual amount. In fact, it was $200 million, excuse me. The reason for that are a couple fold in principle. One is that on the federal funds regular program side, we actually were able to receive the federal money a month earlier than we had anticipated in our original forecast. A timing difference, not a permanent win. But just it came in October instead of November. On the expenditure side, we thought we would be spending on bridge items a little bit faster, but with the review of the process and the getting out of the chute, so to speak, we anticipate that there'll be heavier expenditures in November and December than was originally planned. But for October, it made it $38 million less. So on kind of a cumulative basis, we pick up $100 million in cash flow, half kind of due to the feds coming in earlier than planned, and half the bridge-related expenditures being a little bit slower out of the chute than we had planned. And so we're sitting on $200 million as of October. In both of those cases, we'll see less federal revenues and more spending in November and December, so we'll be substantially back on track with our other cash forecast. So it's a timing difference. Looking at the two-year ends, and this was some feedback that we received that would be helpful, for 2008, and again, this is assuming $177 or $178 million of federal revenues that we have, if you will, in hand, so to speak. You know, we predicted last month and advised this group that we would have $26 million on hand, which is a pretty nominal number. In fact, for the low point, we said that would not be sufficient to manage our cash throughout the month of June. Well, the big difference is $123.5 million, so now we're at $148. So it's pretty straightforward there. The same thing with 09. Essentially, I mean, there's some modest adjustments on planned expenditures from 08, but excuse me, you'll see that there's $122 million of additional money that we didn't plan. So instead of being a negative 40, which was what we represented a year-end balance last month when we only had $53 million in hand, we're a positive 83 because it's that $123 million we received. So it's relatively straightforward, but the staff seemed to, and me personally, liked it because it kind of gave you a sense in a quick terms, why have we improved?
Mr. Gray, I think this sheet works very well for the quick update of what's changed or what has, you know, what's different from meeting to meeting. Representative Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Mr. Gray, as far as the contracts payable, are they always on a timely basis, or is it like we work our checking accounts? If you don't have it, you roll it over to the next month?
Madam Speaker, right. Representative Leader, we pay on a timely basis. Very timely, in fact. I think we turn the bills around maybe even faster than necessary, but we try to get it out as quickly as we can, get it through a normal review process, and then turn around and pay the contractor. And with respect to items that are federal billing eligible, we like to do that because obviously we want to then get reimbursed by the federal side so we can improve our cash situation. So we work very diligently, whether it's regular program, operations and maintenance invoices and costs, or in this case, obviously the bridge, to turn it around in a very very quick fashion. I would say faster than a normal private entity might.
Senator Pogmiller.
I wanted just a couple quick questions before you guys leave here. I'm a little surprised, and maybe it's just the timing's not quite right, but there's, as I understand it, there's an agreement to do an exit from downtown onto 35W on 3rd Avenue with shared costs between the city, county, and state.
Madam Speaker, Senator Folkemiller.
Mr. Henkel.
I would have to do some checking on that. I can do that for
Apparently
you.
Apparently the governor, maybe I need to kick that upstairs.
Commissioner, Lieutenant Governor. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I don't expect you'll be returning to the table. Thank you for all the information and for going through it.
Madam Speaker.
Yes.
And Senator Pogamiller, the issue you're talking about on that access point is a study to do that, to study the possibility of having an access point at that point with coordination between the City of Minneapolis and MnDOT as well.
Senator Pogamiller.
It's my understanding that there is a commitment to do the exit out of downtown under 35 with shared costs as part of the municipal consent agreement, and that there's a study to talk about some other aspects related to north of the bridge. Is that not your understanding?
I think I have, Connie, you probably have the details on that, but it was my understanding that those issues were part of an agreement, you're right, but it was my understanding that they were a study because they're not in our plan at this point, and there are no resources available at this point in time, and they would not be eligible, I believe, for the ER funds.
Right, I think that's clear. They're not eligible for the funds, for federal funds.
Welcome. Identify yourself for the record. And
yes, Madam Chair. My name is Connie Sawhead-Jam. I'm a Metro District Engineer, work with MnDOT. As the Commissioner mentioned, it is a study, and we're working, MnDOT is working with Hennepin County and City of Minneapolis, and the county has great interest in this because Washington Avenue is a county road, and also Federal Highway Administration, because as you know, whenever you want to add an access to the interstate system, they have great stake in that, and they have to give us approval to do that. Therefore, we're looking into that. We just had a meeting about 10 days ago, and it is on a fast track to look at that and do a study and see how it will help the locals and what the benefits are for the locals. I think everybody knows it will help the City of Minneapolis and the locals, and we want to make sure that it does not affect the operations of the interstate system. And that's the biggest part that we're interested in, and also the Federal Highway Administration.
Sure. So it's
Senator Pogamiller.
Is the idea to get this built when the bridge by the time the bridge opens? That seems to make most sense.
Yes, Madam Madam Chair, Senator Pogamiller, that would be ideal, and we're looking at we have a draft schedule that wouldn't be part of this contract. We wouldn't be adding to this contract, and as you said, it's not ER eligible. It would need additional funding, so it would be a separate contract. Mm-hmm. That could, if everything goes well, that could start, you know, before this bridge is done, and be done about the same time as so that the completion of the bridge, the opening of the 35W bridge, would not be delayed. So there is a theoretical schedule there, but everything has to fall in place with regard to environmental work and operations of the interstate.
One other question. Was there discussion of a exit into downtown? Other than Washington Avenue there, going in, I think it would be 4th. Was there a discussion of that also?
Madam Chair, Senator Pogamiller.
Coming from the north.
That would be a separate...
Has there been discussion of that?
Yes, there has been.
Because that... I mean, it seems to me that after we... I'm just giving you kind of a bird's-eye view of somebody who drives that thing all the time. I would guess after we build a $300 million bridge, the public's going to judge a little bit whether it's easier to get in and out of places because of that bridge. And even though these are not on the bridge, that is the location roughly where those decisions are made. And so I would encourage that effort that city, county, and state are doing in that direction, both for an exit on and an exit off and an entrance on, right into those one ways downtown. I just think that people would judge a bridge partly by saying, oh gosh, you can really get through here now. So yeah. Just, I encourage that. Thank you, and please keep that up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pogamiller, that specific project you're talking about was one of our, we were looking into that as one of our traffic restoration projects for detouring. There are some, as every project is, there's some issues with the local. Some people don't like it, some people like it. So we decided to delay that, and then we're going to work on that this spring. So
thanks. And then, Madam Chair,
yes.
Put in, as long as I get a leader here. The neighborhood's asking for a sound wall around Prospect Park again, Commissioner. With the new lane, it's really kind of ramped things up. And so we'll be talking at some point about that. So. Just give you a heads up.
Believe me, Madam Chair,
yes.
Senator Pogamiller, if you're telling me today, believe me, we've had a heads up from lots of contacts before this.
Commissioner Mutanko, since you're here, and I think next we'll move to the Commissioner of Finance for some discussion of the formal request. Could you give us an update on the status, and it is related to the bridge, of the emergency management director, Ms. Moore, if you pick, and what is happening there? I haven't heard a lot lately, and I don't know how much you can discuss, but seems fairly serious.
Madam Speaker, I can't discuss any details, but I will tell you that the details should be available, if not by this Friday, by next Monday.
Okay, thank you for that. Commissioner of Finance, welcome to the group.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
You want me just to one small point, if you would just indulge us for a second. I think that you keep identifying us inappropriately in your memo to us, so I just want to alert you to that you keep referring to this group as the LAC group, which it is not, and I know you're a detail guy, and I know that you'll pay close attention to that in the future. So,
Madam Speaker, I'm abiding by and in deference to Representative Leader and Senator Murphy. They did describe the process whereby we recognize additional federal funding in transportation, and that was in the 25-page bill that Representative Leader passed in May. And in that, it says that when the MnDOT, and when the administration wants to recognize additional federal funds, it doesn't recognize TCAG, the new term for this group. It's the LAC, and it just so happens that the members coincide, so it's fairly economical to do LAC for this group.
The members somewhat coincide with the LAC, so I want to be clear.
Representative Leader's
very important additions, which we think might, you know, improve a lot of processes. But I think that's I just want to be clear that it does add to the confusion of what we are expected to do here. So,
but we're asking for additional authority. I'm recognizing additional authority, and in order to abide by the statutes, I address it to the LAC. I can put another cover letter on it. But
we'll have to clarify that in the future. Commissioner, you have a request for us.
Yes, MnDOT submitted a request to recognize $135 million additional appropriation authority. I received it a few days ago, and pursuant to the new authority, there was a different authority that passed in May. As your executive secretary, that's why you have the memo and the form attached to it. And essentially, it is along the same lines as what we did a month ago. We had asked for $195 million increased authority based on the federal authorization that was signed into law. We, you had granted, you had approved $60 million the last time the group met. In the meantime, we, as the previous speakers have told you, we've received $123 million. So we're asking you for the remaining 63 plus the remaining amount to get you to 195. So that totals 135, an additional authority that we are submitting for consideration to the Legislative Advisory Commission. So you don't have to act in this group, but a lot of times with the LAC, you know, we have a timeline. We want to hear back from you on the sheet.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Speaker and Commissioner, I think it was established at the first meeting that we had on this issue some time ago that the 10 days doesn't apply to this group, the request. And I think the records show that you confirmed that. That was one of the first questions that was asked by the then chair of the group which was the Speaker of the House. And
yes, and that's the same now.
Yeah, and so thank you for confirming that. Additionally, Commissioner, there is a difference between the TCAG and the LAC. TCAC is made up of members of the LAC plus additional. So there is, I think, there statutorily there are two different. Different groups and referred to in law in two different ways as well. But Speaker and members, as we have had testimony today and as we are going to be meeting again in probably December according to the agreement that we've had and with the cash flow, not cash flow, but well, that's good that that's improved. I appreciate that. I think that's a very good thing. That I would just as soon delay any action on this from our particular point until we see what those authorizations are. We'll be around again, and the biggest concern that I have is that the legislature does the appropriation of this particular any kind of appropriation and. So with your authority to go through February with the 60 that we've had, not yours, but the department, as I look at those letting dates. But I'd like to have a little bit more information on that first, Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Solberg. Commissioner, I think, you know, obviously you got a request. You need to present it to us, and so we appreciate that a great deal. I think it's also been fairly well documented and proven out today that as of today, you know, early November in 2007, there's not an imperative to act on this request today or maybe in the immediate future. I think folks are very interested in continuing to get the very thorough update that we received again. And have some discussions with the members of the legislature, providing them with the level of information that we've received today, which we think is very important as well. So we appreciate and would have expected that the department would, of course, make a further request at this point. But it's also quite clear that with the very serious cash flow issues the department was facing, have really been relieved by the ability to get reimbursement from the federal government for the ER-related costs. And for that, everyone is pleased, and everyone is very happy about the work that's been done with our federal partners here. However, I think there remain some very serious questions from a legislative standpoint about some management issues at the department, and some of these questions that Mr. Gray referred to today that we're all going to work on together to figure out what's the proper you know, level of cash flow that's needed in the department and those sorts of things, and how we can be helpful to provide that additional spending authority when needed, as well as additional new funds to the department. We have a very keen interest in doing that here in the legislature. And so I think that our top priority is the safety and mobility of Minnesotans. Right now, I think the case has been made fairly clearly by the department that as of today, not acting on this is not going to change anything moving towards the legislative session. Now, we're going to remain open-minded to the question of the February letting, because clearly there might be some issues there. But we also think that this warrants further examination, not just by this group, but by the larger group of the legislature, and we think that's very important. Representative Solberg.
Yeah, Speaker, just on a separate topic, Commissioner, when we first came before us, you stated that there was a need for additional funds for the bridge completion because you had $250 million authorization from Congress and the bridge is 393 or whatever that number happens to be. And so there was a difference of, I want to say, 145 or yeah, something like that, 143. This additional appropriation then now of 123.5, whatever it is, will that reduce that down now from, you stated at the beginning that, that's we're going to have some submissions and solve that problem. That's my understanding as well.
Thank you. Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, it's my hope, and I'm assuming everybody in the room, that we get the 195 appropriated by Congress, and we also, yeah, you're nodding your head, and we also get the 123 and more to receive as much money from the federal government as possible.
Well, Madam Speaker, one other thing, I'd like to have Congress appropriate the money, but the President sign it once, too. That'd be kind of nice.
You can't sign it unless Congress appropriates.
Well, I know. I understand both. There's give and take in this.
Yeah. We understand that very well, Commissioner. I think we understand it quite well. I think there's some things that we could do about that next session. All right, Senator Pogamiller.
Quick, we always seem to get these things from you and the governor at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock at night on Thursdays.
Yes.
Is that intentional or?
Oh, no. I will make sure, Madam Speaker, Senator Pogamiller, we will not do that on end of the day. That was just, by the time you go, you know how it is, you go through a few drafts, and then by the time they make all the copies and walk around, it's 1 o'clock. So that's a good point.
So you're not spending this enough.
No, I
don't. Okay. Same, Commissioner. I mentioned some of the speakers. So you're on the inside on this. I just mentioned this morning. There's an inclination in the Senate to ask the executive branch for their bills early this session.
How early is that?
First week, second week of January. Because I think, I'm just talking from a Senate perspective. We want to come in, get the work done, and go home. And we can't have budget pronouncements and then wait for a month for bills from the executive branch. So you guys have been in office for 5 or 6 years now. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask you to get us bills by the first or second week of January.
Madam Speaker, Senator Miller. And then do you plan on having budget hearings in January?
Well, won't there be a February forecast also?
Yeah, there's one at the end of February. Yeah.
Sure, but there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, I just think the sequencing, I'm not trying to be difficult, but the sequencing of the press conference and the announcement to actually getting something for us to work with, we need to shorten that up, like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. So, well, Madam Speaker, Senator Pogamiller, I was thinking more first week of February so that you'd have it when you guys are ready to go.
I think for the Senate that's too late. We're going to be working sooner than that.
Commissioner, I'm sure you'll pass that along to the governor and the chief of staff. Representative Magnus, I understand the soybeans and the corn are both out, and how's the plowing going now?
We're busy filling when I can get at it.
Great, we'll try to get you back to that.
That leads into my first question,
yes,
Madam Speaker. Do you anticipate us meeting again?
I do. I think that we had made a commitment to have a monthly update of this group, And so I suspect we will meet in December, fairly early in the month, so that we can have an update on the November lettings in terms of contracts, as well as any other changes. And we will also know whether Congress has needed to do an extension on November 16th at that point. So, Representative Magnus.
And it's my understanding that we're not going to have five members of this group, whatever we call it. It's the LAC plus the transportation folks, according to the statute here. And we're not going to sign in that request today.
I think that I think, at least from my standpoint, and I think just from early discussion with some other members, I'm not sure, and certainly from the testimony today, that folks are there today.
Well,
Magnus.
Madam Speaker, and I understand, and we've had some discussion from the start of this. You know, no one knew the bridge was going to fail and cause this turmoil for us. I think there's some apprehension, certainly among this group. I personally have not had a single legislator contact me about us authorizing MnDOT to spend the money. Now, maybe they're just out in the field too much and not here.
Can I go ride around in the tractor for a while? Because I think that might help my cell phone bill.
Well, and so I'm questioning why we keep meeting when we're not going to do this, and we're going to wait for the full legislature to do anything. And we've gone through this with the Transportation Committee. You know, how much of this are we going to go back over again? Because, you know, the frustration that we have is over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, been through, this is, I think, the ninth meeting I've had on transportation issues since the bridge collapse. And I don't know how many we're going to have before session. And obviously, by delaying any action here, we're going to force ourselves into a rapid response mode once session starts. We start February 2nd, and we have the information here that MnDOT is going to be in a squeeze by then without this group taking action. And so I am a bit concerned about us, the continuation of these meetings without us basically doing anything.
Well, Representative Magnus, I think that it's pretty clear that a higher level of oversight is warranted right now. And so I think that is what we accomplish in having this meeting. I think you better get ready, because I think it's going to be a fairly fast-moving session starting on February 12th. There's going to be a lot of things happening. It's a fairly full agenda and a fairly full plate for a short session. So I expect we'd be in that position anyway. I don't think this particular piece of information changes that one bit or makes it any different. And, you know, Representative Magnus, we're trying to be very thoughtful about this and let folks know what they can plan in terms of meetings. But I think that the public expects that we are going to do our job as legislators, which is to provide oversight when oversight is warranted. I think it's frankly always warranted, but we only have so much time in the day, as you point out. And we can't be looking at every single state agency in the same way, but clearly there have been some major issues in this particular state agency that, you know, folks want to do their job and they want to do it well in MnDOT. And I think 98% of the time that is true. That is true. And so we want to make sure that the promise of that is upheld for the people.
Well, it was just an effort to help the crowded schedule we're facing here, as you point out, in early February, Madam Speaker, to get this off of our chest. Because I listened to the folks here and said, let's not spend the money till we get it. And you know, that was said over and over and over again. And then, well, now we've got the money, so, well, now we don't want to spend it. And just an effort to help out with the busy schedule you've got planned for us. I do want to say that these letters we've gotten in front of us today that have happened the last couple of weeks are really, really helpful and great news for us. This especially, you know, not only the $123.5 million in the letter of November 1st from U.S. Secretary of Transportation Peters, but the other letter outlined October 23rd from Robin Schroeder from the Federal Highway Administration, indicating that there's, at least as I read it and understand it, a significant glimmer of hope to get $371.7 million for the bridge replacement. Because it's been my concern here that we're sitting with this shortfall between what the replacement is actually going to cost and the initial estimate of that we all heard about was $250 million. And I think we still have to have significant discussion about the betterments and some of them we've talked about today, the access roads and on-ramps, off-ramps, so on, and the light rail capability and all that sort of thing. And that has to be talked about and how we're going to fund those. Because those, as I understand it, are not emergency funds, and they're emergency relief fund eligible. So we do have some work in front of us. So, but I do really appreciate these letters. That takes a big load off of my mind for sure.
Senator Pogonoy.
We do have in the letter, though, it says it's unlikely that Minnesota will receive the remaining $316.7 at this time due to a limited amount of available funding to be shared with other ER needs identified across the country.
Yeah.
So it's not all good news.
No. I said a glimmer of hope.
You didn't say the check's in the mail.
Mr. Hinkle, you've returned to the table.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to reiterate the testimony of Mr. Gray and myself that there are impacts to not advancing this budget authority request. And I would welcome the opportunity at our next meeting to bring forward some clearer descriptions of what those impacts may be so that you are aware of what happens programmatically as we begin looking at scenarios for potentially not having that additional budget authority in a timely manner. Second, to add on to Representative Magnus's comments about the FHWA letter and the status of congressional action, it's my opinion that action that's more immediate than later on this budget authority request can show a commitment by this state to Congress for the funds that are necessary to progress in completing this particular bridge project as well as retaining the existing program. So there is a benefit from a national perspective in showing a commitment, and so that is another consideration that you may want to give as we move forward with your consideration of that budget authority request.
So, Mr. Hinkle, I guess the question is what kind of commitment to the bridge money, because we clearly are not paying for the bridge.
Madam Speaker, it's simply a commitment to showing that this state is committed to and needs the receipt of that $195, the remainder being $135, of which the federal government has already provided $55. And just showing that commitment demonstrates that we're moving forward.
Mr. Hinkle, I think that if a bridge falling down into a river isn't enough of a need, I'm not sure what is. I'll be talking to Senator Klobuchar about that next week to see if that's necessary. All right. Anything else? Meeting adjourned.